No, neither one of my children are here, so that'd be great.
Thank you. crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
But
because if we are all reaching around this world, it's not that big. We can all reach and grab and touch people all around the world. And those children may never know that you did anything for them.
And ticket.
Okay. They'll never know your name. But what they do know is somebody cared somewhere. And they got some water and they got some medicine. And they got things that we take for granted, like shots to keep us from getting sick. They get all those things just because you have helped. So, Merritt's going to help us sing a song. And here are your boxes.
You can do this and collect candy.
Oh, yeah, you still get to have candy. You still get to take it off. So anyway, we're going to sing this song, and the brothers can sing with us too if they want to help us since we're coming.
You and numbers on the children front.
But it's called We Are the World. So sing out.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones we are.
Ministries both locally, regionally, as well as internationally. Let's turn to hymn number 603, and we'll thank Sadie, and we'll sing just the first verse as our prayer for illumination. Let's pray, sing this, and pray together.
You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength, you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the people. Those who live at the earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain. For so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Thanks be to God. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
I should bring the notes.
be with you all this morning and to praise God together in this place. Will you join with me in prayer? Holy Creator God, we ask now that you would speak to our hearts, just as you've done to your people in ages past. May you guide us now into the wilderness where we might learn from you, that we might see you and experience community and relationship together. Lord, we are open to your Spirit this morning. We are waiting. Speak now, O Lord. Amen. He's a fool, they said. Surely he cannot mean to go alone, or to go unarmed. That wolf will certainly eat him, another replied. The terrified people of Gubbio were huddled together, safe behind the walls of their houses. For the past few nights, a wolf had been terrorizing the community, attacking their chickens and their livestock and eating them. There were even rumors from the local shepherds that they had abandoned their flocks, and now they were fleeing for the safety of their own lives. But all this didn't deter Francis. Armed only with love, Francis decided to go out and to meet the wolf. When Francis came before the wolf, what he found was an old, starving, and feeble wolf that was unable to hunt for itself. So Francis made a proposal to the wolf that the people of the town instead would come out and feed it if it would just leave their livestock alone. The wolf agreed with Francis. It sounded good to him. Speaking to his brothers later on, Francis said, "No, I wasn't afraid to meet the wolf, my brothers and sisters. Not since I had experienced the fact that the wolf is the wolf, that the God is the wolf's God too." What is extraordinary in this incident, he told to his brothers, was not that the wolf grew tame, but that the people of Gubbio grew tame. That they ran to meet the cold and hungry wolf, not with pruning knives and hatchets, but with bread and hot porridge. He said, "This is the miracle of love, to discover that all creation is one, flung out into space by a God who is Father." You see, when St. Francis drew near to the wolf, what he found was a broken relationship that created this division of hostility. Yes, the wolf needed food, but perhaps even more so, the people of Gubbio needed to be released from the shackles of fear and restored into a right relationship with the wolf. In her poem called Allowables, Nikki Giovanni expounds upon what happens to us in our relationships when there's an absence of love. Her poem goes like this. "I killed a spider, not a murderous brown recluse, nor even a black widow. And if the truth were told, this was only a small sort of papery spider who should have run when I picked up the book. But she didn't, and she scared me, and I smashed her. I don't think I'm allowed to kill something because I am frightened." Fear is what happens in the absence of trust and community. Fear is the opposite of relationship. Fear is how we justify treating other people and other animals and trees and forests with something less than their God-given dignity. You see, what St. Francis and Nikki Giovanni and others have recognized throughout the years is that human beings' relationship with the rest of creation is broken. And that brokenness between people and land and animals inevitably leads to a brokenness between one another, you and me and others, and between us and God. Channeling his namesake, Pope Francis spoke to this broken relationship in his encyclical Laudato Si. He said, "The entire material universe speaks of God's love. Soil, water, mountains, everything, as it were, is a caress of God. But we need only to take a frank look at the facts to see that our common home has been falling into serious disrepair. The earth herself, burdened and laid waste, is among the most abandoned and maltreated of our poor. What Francis, our Pope, St. Francis, and what Francis of Assisi saw when he met the wolf that day is no different than what we see today. That though we are interconnected, we're connected with one another, with the rest of creation, that though this is true, we have failed to live into that interconnectedness with love. And so we must be reminded, as Francis said to the people of Gubbio that day, that this is the miracle of love, to find and discover that creation is one, flung out into space by a God who is Father. Love teaches us that creation, indeed all of life, is meant to be in community. As we read Psalm 65 this morning, we learned that our God is a Redeemer God, who fixes broken things, who tears down dividing walls, who forgives, who delivers and saves. And for the psalmist, this is why he cries out in praise. He says, O God of our salvation, you are the hopes of the ends of the earth. But for the psalmist, just as God is the Redeemer of all things, God is also the Creator of all things. Recalling the story of creation in Genesis, Psalm 65 tells the story of a creator God who took a creation writhing in chaos and potential and molded it into something beautiful and life-giving, something teeming with abundant life. Indeed, it was the abundance of life in God that overflowed in the very beginning. For in the beginning there was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one in perfect community and relationship. And God said to God's self, this is way too good to just keep among ourselves. Let us create. And so God created and began to share this love and this life with all things God made. You know, I never quite understood that story of what it means for God to create the world out of an overflowing love of God's self. Until I had a child. This is my child over here, Katie, and this is my wife, Mary. What I recognized is, although we didn't create Katie, we had a role to play in it, right? Right, we hope so, right? But what I recognized is that there was this relationship of love that was already there before between my wife and I, and we said to ourselves, this is wonderful, this is great, and let's just not keep it between ourselves, but let's share that with another. And so we had a child, praise be to God, and now we can share that love with her. And so the love that was from us overflowed to her. This, in some small way, is what God did in the beginning. It's what God does when God creates. But as the psalm says, when God creates in this loving way, it isn't just okay stuff that God creates. It isn't even just good stuff that God creates. But instead, God creates abundant life. When God draws near to us and to the creation, life overflows with goodness. I mean, have you ever experienced that? Whenever you felt God draw near, you found yourself just overflowing with life and abundance. The psalmist talks about it in this way. He says, God, when you visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide people with grain so that all these things you've prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with riches. There is life, abundant life, and it flows out of a right relationship between us and God, us and one another, and us and the creation. It's out of this conviction that my co-partner in ministry, Kevin Miller, and our families here, as we're all co-partners in this ministry together, it was out of this conviction that we heard a calling of the Spirit to begin a new faith community in the upper Swannoma Valley. Our fledgling community that we're just testing the name out right now, that we're calling Way in the Wilderness, a church without walls, seeks to foster authentic relationships between people and God and the creation. If we believe you can fall in love again with creation, then we will be compelled by love to seek its best, to nurture it, to protect it, to cherish it. As Francis said, my God is the wolf's God too. To do this, we've moved beyond the traditional walls of a church and have gone without a building. We've moved out into the creation, choosing to worship God in God's sanctuary of woods and trees and forests alongside birds and animals. If you could see us, we look like a strange group sometimes when we're out in the middle of the woods, huddled together around a stump and the communion table. We always have the communion with us. Sometimes we're huddled together in between our houses, outdoor, underneath some lights. Sometimes we're huddled together underneath a tent, as we were the other night in the rain. Sometimes we're huddled together with our sleeping bags on because it's cold outside. Have you noticed it's becoming winter? And yet we still come together because we believe that it's here that we will meet God in the creation, and that it is here that we will learn to worship with the creation as co-congregants. The animals, the trees, the birds, the animals, they have already been singing even before we got here this morning. Did any of you notice? We didn't begin the worship this morning. The birds did. The waters did. The rains did. My God is the wolf's God too, right? In the final two verses of Psalm 65, the psalmist makes this point very clear. Here we see a creation overflowing with joy and praise to the Creator. Our co-congregants are out there worshiping. The reality is that they have begun even before we got here. The trees have already clapped their hands in praise to God. Our church community just worships outside the building as an affirmation of the reality that when we worship God, we are joining in the chorus of angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. How rich is it to know that we don't worship alone? How rich it is to know that we are co-congregants together. But this movement towards loving the creation, or seeing the creation as co-congregants in worship, or living abundant life, it all flows out of this previous conviction of ours about who God is. That God and God's essence is relational. That God is communal. Therefore, God's mission to the world has always been and will always be relational and communal. It's why we gather around a communion table. It's why we formed a community in Swannanoa and Black Mountain in 2019. And it's why Asbury formed this community in 1801 at Daniel Killian's Tavern. You know, I was really enjoying reading about the history of this congregation here, and I was thrilled to find that though our congregation and this congregation is 200 years apart in its history of when it was founded, that we both began our faith communities in the same way, out of relationships. For our church, we moved beyond our walls and into the frontiers of the wilderness, both literally and figuratively, and you did the same. Trusting that wherever God formed community, there the church would flourish. It wasn't the building, but it was the relationships that became the gathering place. And it's true for us even now. It is the relationship that is the gathering place. And the fostering of relationships together leads to abundant life. It's something that has been just overflowing from our community and that we've been noticing again and again and again. This relationship, this community, this abundant life is our response of praise to God. There's nothing else that's required or needed. It's simply this relationship that's being built. And if you don't trust me, then trust Psalm 65, where the creation responds to God by doing what? By growing, by creating, by thriving. It says, the pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grains. All of this is a response to what God has done and who God is. Like the meadows and the pastures and the wilderness and the hills, we are co-creators with God. For some mysterious reason, God has chosen you and me and all of us to partner with God in this ongoing creative work of the universe. One of my favorite artists and musicians, Michael Gunmore, describes it like this. He says, creation is an ongoing process. The artist has not yet cleaned out the brushes. The paint is still wet. And human beings have been handed brushes of our own like young artist apprentices. The brushes are not ours, nor the paint, nor the canvas. But here they are on loan. What will we create? Will we create community and right relationship after the image of the God in whom we are made? Or, like in the beginning, will we create chaos and discord? Will we move closer to one another, or will we choose to build walls and move further away? Like the creation in Psalm 65, we're called to grow, to thrive, to co-create this community in response to what God has done. This is our act of worship and praise. And it seems great, right? It seems like something that maybe we can begin to wrap our minds around, but for me, I always wonder, well, where do we start with this? I remember even as we were beginning our community, we talked about fostering authentic community, authentic relationships. And one of our good friends of ours, Jeremy Troxler, came back and said, how many times can you say authentic relationship? That sounds nice, but how do you do that? What does that even look like? May I suggest that this morning, that we begin with joy and delight. That's how we begin fostering community. At least that's what the psalmist tells us this morning. The psalmist tells us that in falling in love with others in the creation, it means learning how to delight in who they are. It means learning how to delight in another person, in an animal, in a tree. It means seeing others not as commodities or resources, but as gifts to be loved and cherished. A few years ago, I was taught how to delight by this really brilliant sage. His name is Bert. He's 2 years old. And he's 2 years ago back then. He's a little bit older now. At the time, Bert was in our preschool when I was interning at Iqaluit United Methodist Church. And I had never been around kids before, and up until my daughter was born, I had never changed a diaper or done anything around kids. So I was like, I don't know how to handle kids, but this child that morning was wide awake, would not go down for a nap. So I was like, well, let me help the other kids out, and I'll take Bert, and we'll go from the preschool that's downstairs, and we'll ride the elevator that's there in the church, because you know, that's got to be fun. So we rode the elevator up and down a couple of times, and then upstairs was the sanctuary, and so we made our way into the sanctuary, and all of a sudden, Bert just makes a beeline to the back of the room, where there was this beautiful stained glass window. It was an image of Jesus surrounded by the bounty of creation, just overflowing with color. After a few minutes, I said, okay, Bert, we need to get back downstairs. We need to get you to sleep. And of course, he didn't listen at all. And he just plops down in front of the stained glass window. Okay, Bert, let's go. It's time. He refuses to move. And all I hear is this loud exhale. Wow. And then I heard him again go, wow. So I gave up, and I took a seat next to Bert, and I stared up at that window, and let the colors dance around. And I rested there. And I turned to Bert and I said, "Wow." I don't know what Bert saw then. Was it the light? Was it the shapes? Was it seeing Jesus for the first time? Was it being amazed? Was it being filled with awe or wonder? I don't know what it is that moved him in that moment, but in that moment, he was delighting. And in his delight, he had invited me to delight. He was living an abundant life in the presence of God and inviting me to simply join him. I wonder, when was the last time you delighted like Bert? When did you last delight in God's colors? Have you ever wondered how amazing it is that God made a color like blue? Or the orange and the reds that we see in the trees? When was the last time you delighted in another person? Or a mountain? Or an animal? Or a tree? Take kids around with you because they are just overflowing with delight. They know how to do this naturally. Somehow we got older and forgot how to delight. But kids remind us that all that we see around us, every person you meet, every animal, every tree, every river, every stream, everything is a gift of God. It's not a commodity. It's not a resource to be used. Instead, all life is to be cherished and loved. It's in this act of drawing near to one another, delighting in one another, delighting in the creation, that we are drawn into the very life of God. As the scripture says, there is no such thing as loving God without loving your neighbor, but as I'm fond to add, there's no such thing as loving your neighbor without caring for the air she breathes, the water she drinks, and the land that sustains her. And the reality is, you will not love that which you do not know. So if you do not take the time to delight and to see the other, whether it's a person or the creation, if you do not take the time to get to know, then you will never find yourself loving. As St. Francis said to the people of Gubbio, this is the miracle of love. To discover that all creation is one, to know that we are made for relationship. So go hike a mountain. Go play in the leaves. Go smell the crisp air. Feed the birds. Listen to the gentle rain. Have a meal with a friend or a stranger. And just give thanks. Everything and everyone is a gift. My sisters and my brothers, this is the calling, the gift and the task of the church. It's what we believe in our ministry and what I believe you believe too. It's my hope for us today that we might delight in one another, draw nearer together as a communion, as a community, that we might see each person and creature as a gift, and in doing so, find that we are swept up into abundant life and find ourselves in the very heart of God. May it be so, as the psalmist says, as we shout and sing together in joy. Amen.
Thank you, Kevin, for sharing with us, for bringing this, for reminding us of this great psalm, Psalm 65, for reminding us of the ministry of St. Francis of Assisi, and for reminding us of the beauty of the creation in which we live and worship together. I invite you to pull out these two bulletin inserts, the two inserts. Look at the one that has our name at the top and the three columns of churches. You'll see here, as we've noticed the past 2 weeks, as we've prayed for the new churches, you'll see what Francis Asbury wrote in his journal. The day was celebrated with our history on October 11, 1801. He wrote yesterday and today, held quarterly meeting at Daniel Killian's near Buncombe Courthouse. What this was the beginning of this church, of this recognition of that gathering of friends in Daniel and Charlotte Killian's house. And we were at that moment organized as a, what was then called a Methodist Episcopal Church, and is what we are today. You'll see in the list here, the three columns, these are the churches, the United Methodist Churches that have been founded since we were organized on October 11, 1801. We are the oldest church in our part of the mountains. We are the church that has the awesome responsibility of having played one part or another in the gathering of those friends that represent each one of these churches. And it's our awesome responsibility to lift up and pray for these congregations, because we've been here since officially 1801, and before then at Daniel and Charlotte Killian's house around the corner. We have prayed for the people of these churches for 218 years, and today we have the amazing opportunity and responsibility to pray for this new church that is beginning. You'll see at the very bottom of the list here, this is an alphabetical list. You'll see at the bottom, actually, it's a W with Way in the Wilderness. But these are the three new churches for whom we have been praying the past 2 weeks, and from whom we have heard Bob Parsons 2 weeks ago, and Ashley Crowder Stanley last week. So I invite us as a congregation, as we begin our prayer time, to remind ourselves of our responsibility of praying for these churches. And I want to invite Kevin to come forward, and Neil and Ellen and Scott, would y'all join me back here? Definitely, too, please, as the district is in town. And I invite us as a congregation to come forward and pray for these two pastors who are experiencing community right here in prayer. God, please come forward, and we will lay on our hands. Reach out and touch the back of Kevin, and Kevin, put your hands on their shoulders, and bring these sheets with you, because we will pray this prayer. Kevin, anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Kevin, anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for this ministry of starting a new church, for this ministry of reminding us of what community is, for this ministry of reaching out and showing us the beauty of your creation, and reminding us of our call into community through our Holy Spirit. This is a prayer from the congregation of Asbury Memorial United Methodist Church to Way in the Wilderness United Methodist Church from Colossians 1. As Paul said to the church in Colossae, I will pray and not cease praying for you. So we, the congregation of Asbury Memorial,
will not cease praying for you, Way in the Wilderness United Methodist Church. We ask in prayer that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that your lives and your church may be fully pleasing to Him as you bear fruit in every good work. We pray that you and the new church grow in knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from the glorious power of our gracious God. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to our God, who has enabled you to share the inheritance of the saints in the light. We pray that you and those who come to the church may understand the grace that has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and with your church
this day and always.
All God's people say,
Amen.
We continue our prayers as we come together, as we continue being together as God's people, lifting one another up, recommending one another, as Francis Asbury said, recommending one another to the praise of God. We pray God's continued blessing upon Rob Parsons and the new church he's reaching out to with the families of the incarcerated in Polk County. And we pray for Ashley Crowder Stanley at her new church in the south part of our county. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayers. We pray for the member of our congregation, Edna Moll, who's awaiting surgery as she regains strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for Debbie Montague and for Nan as she recovers from the illness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for Mary Jo as she faces surgery tomorrow. May your spirit be with her and to guide her, support her, and fill her with your wholeness and your healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We pray for people around the world who are facing persecution, especially those in northern Syria, the Kurds. We pray for your spirit to surround them with your love and your presence. May they know this full community of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lift up these prayers we've said out loud, the prayers that we say in the silence of our heart, and the prayers that we may wish to lift up now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Now, with the confidence of the children of God, we pray together this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
We've heard about God's bounty. We've heard about the gifts that God has given us. Now is our chance as the people of God to return to God a portion of what He has given us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
gracious God, you have poured out upon the earth your bounty and richness and goodness following your tracks. These are the riches and the goodness of your mercy and your grace. And we return those to you in thanksgiving and in praise. Bless us, bless these gifts as we seek to build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We offer these in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's turn to page 62 and join together in singing these wonderful words of St. Francis of Assisi. Let's sing together.
Begun. We have worshiped together and it will continue. I'm going to tell my daughter right now something very important. Katie, this is your family. They have promised to pray for you and for us and the Spirit's leading. I told her, you can't let a little child down now, can you? You have to pray for us now. We will continue with this worship. We will continue to gather with the creation. May we find community. May you be blessed by it. And may you find life abundant together. Amen. Amen.